And welcome to the Gamerland Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, the Pop Rocks to my cola.
Yeah.
The KevinMiller.com. Jump and press the circle button, Kevin.
Hook a cabbage patch, Justin.
Hi.
Hey, what are you doing tomorrow night?
What am I doing tomorrow night?
Tuesday, yeah, I'm twitching.
Oh,
what are you doing?
I knew I was being set up for something. I just didn't know what exactly it was.
You could come in to the Discord anytime you want.
All right.
And guest. But I will be twitching and continuing the...
You're still playing Sly?
That's all I play now.
So when you leave one Twitch, do you pick up where you left off? Like, do you have to find a level and then go, okay, for the night?
I've decided that I'm doing Thieves in Time right now.
Okay.
And what I've really been enjoying is I take my 32-inch LCD screen, and I put it next to my computer and then play it off of that, and it's 2 feet from my face. This game is gorgeous that close.
So you have a 32-inch screen.
Yeah, yeah. Like a regular, like, bedroom-size flat-screen TV.
How far from your face?
You know, like a monitor. Like, it's that close. It's like, you know, like this big. It's like this big. You can see it.
Oh, 32-inch makes sense. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Not like 64.
I don't know why. In my head, 32 inches seemed like it was small. That's unfair.
Well, your screen, that's like a 17-inch, right?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. So,
I thought slightly bigger than that, but I don't know why I thought.
Yeah, like multiply that by four of those, and that's where we're at.
So you've got it 2 inches from your face.
Yeah, you know, like a monitor, like you do right now. Two feet.
And
did I say inches?
So it's almost like you're playing a game in IMAX. That's
what it feels like. So I'm appreciating so much of the HD quality of Sly Cooper.
Are the shades
PS3.
In the cell shading that much shadier?
So much. There are shades within the shades.
Wow.
I'm like, what are all these shades?
What's up with the shades, bro?
Come on. What I've noticed, though, because in the first level, you know, it takes place in feudal Japan, there's just so many textures going on. There's so much depth. And I mentioned this in the last stream that I almost feel like if they were to do this on the PS4 or PS5, they wouldn't need to do any more detail in the game, because part of the charm is that it's not simple, but that it's defined. Because you look at like the new Ratchet and Clank, and it's cool looking. But it's almost too much detail, where your character gets kind of lost in this intricately detailed world. And I feel like the Sly games.
It's a plane. You're all right. Everything's fine.
I live near the airport too. We've never heard a plane from in here before.
Sometimes, so that late at night, they come a little close to the house.
They're landing on the roof, aren't they? The president is here.
Yes, that's an Osprey. What's it called? Osprey? Osprey? Osprey. I'm going to stick with Osprey.
Ding, 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 ding. No, circle gets the square.
Osprey it is. Looser.
But in other great news regarding the Twitch stream, I have over 1,000 followers.
What?
It's been pretty exciting.
That's not the right button,
Justin. What just happened?
There it is. Yeah, that's what I want. So 1,000.
1,000 followers, which is pretty exciting.
Even I pressed the wrong button again. The Kevin Miller has over 1,000 followers on Twitch.
This has been news that you are already listening to.
That's awesome.
And so as I've said on the Twitch stream, if we crack 50,000 followers, I will
dress up as Sly.
Yeah, and cosplay and play the game simultaneously. I figure with that many people, I can afford a webcam, which apparently is a huge draw on your graphics card. You would think that the higher end the graphics card, the more things it can do. It's actually the opposite. Huh? The higher end the graphics card, the harder it is for it to do multiple things at once, because it's rendering really great graphics, and then you're asking it to stream it simultaneously. And then if you also pipe in a video, like a webcam, it tries to do that at a high quality as well. So it's like,
It's like a gay child. I'm only great at everything. Yeah,
exactly.
I cannot be mediocre at anything.
That's it, right. That's right. And I was going to say it's like eating a plate, like a flight of filet mignons. But your example is much better.
Flight of filet mignons.
After a while, you can't taste the difference. You're like, why am I just, it's all good. Please stop feeding me. I can't do it anymore.
Where were we that I had a flight of bourbon and thought that was a good idea?
We were in Las Vegas.
For Jeremy's bachelor party. Yes, that's right. Not the Jeremy
in the hotel
that you guys
bar.
Know, but a different Jeremy.
Yes, and they thought you weren't going to make it out the door, which was
the bar.
Yeah. You know, I think if you work and live in Vegas, you see so many bad things, and it's so often the same story that they don't believe when something else happens.
I was fine until we got to dinner. When I got to dinner, I got super, because I was still working on the morning show. That's so right. I've been up since 3 o'clock.
So it wasn't about alcohol. It was about...
Yeah, that helped. That definitely helped.
If I'm not mistaken, I think you had 5 drinks by the time we sat down to dinner. Because you had a flight, you had a drink in the bar, and then you had a drink at the table. And
then
that's
I remember
when
buying about a $300 bar tab at some point.
I think, and then I think you also bought everyone dinner.
No, that's what Jeremy thought, which was hilarious because we went to a... So here's the thing. We're a bunch of guys. We're all getting together for a bachelor party in Vegas. Everybody's descending there. Kevin and I drive in from Los Angeles. I was working on a morning radio show, so I had been up since 3 o'clock that morning. And we head up there. We get there, and... They have nice bourbon at the, we were at a Marriott or something, right? And it was a Courtyard Marriott in Vegas, but they had some really nice bourbons there. So I had a flight of bourbon. Kevin had an old fashioned.
I feel like it was a $45 flight. It was expensive.
So then we go and the lady's like, you better watch yourself on this. I'm like, they're 3 like little 1 ounce pours. Like it was totally fine.
They were like 3 ounce pours, but they were pretty heavy.
Oh, I don't remember that part.
Yeah, but they were big. They were tall.
So we get to the casino / hotel where the bachelor was staying. And we met at a bar and had a few drinks and then we had to go. And I go, I got it. And I thought there was like... I think 4 of us, but I think they threw in a bunch of other people's
stuff. There were like 9 of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had a $300 bar tab. Luckily, Daddy was doing all right financially, so it wasn't like, oh. But so I was like, oh, okay. So I paid the tab, and then we went to dinner, but we were at dinner till like, I had to be like 11 o'clock.
It was super late.
I had been up at least 20 hours.
And you drove. You spent 4 hours behind the wheel.
And so I was just, and I remember a friend of ours saying to you, is he okay?
Yeah.
And then you saying, yeah, because I kind of was taking a nap at the table. And you're like, yeah, I think it has more to do with his sleep than it has to do with the booze.
Yeah.
And which you were right. But the booze did not help me.
Well, you're naturally going to lose about 6 hours of sleep from the amount of alcohol.
I was so relaxed and I was so ready to go. So we go to then we had a pool cabana thing, which was horrible.
Which was the worst idea.
It was horrible.
The bachelors, all they wanted to do was go to the pool.
And hang out.
And what somebody in their bridal party decided that meant was that they wanted to go to a day club.
Yeah.
And which I saw one of the ickiest things I've ever seen in my life.
I want to hear.
Which is a day club.
Oh. Yeah, it is. It's like, imagine everything that is disgusting about a public pool.
Yeah.
Add intoxication to that and grinding.
Yeah. In the middle of the day.
Yeah, it's very weird.
It's super weird.
And it's one
how many people can you fit in that pool?
It's another one of those moments where I just felt old, like as a person, where I'm like, I would much rather hang out by the pool.
Which we eventually did.
Yeah, we did. And it was so, remember how calming it was? And it was so nice.
Can we go back?
Oh, yeah. So we get there and everybody's like, you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. Mm. I was totally fine. And then I said, by the way, I got to pay somebody for dinner. And then they were like, you paid for dinner. And I was like, oh, no. Because I think the tab was like $1,500 because there was a lot of us.
There were like 20 people at that table.
And that would have gotten me in some trouble.
That would have been
hot
tough.
Water with the,
but it wasn't. It was one of the grooms. But you've gone past.
Ironically, the guy who said, I think you paid.
Yeah, he actually
was worried
paid.
About me being too hammered.
The funniest part, though, was you and I at breakfast the next morning, to which someone said, they texted and they're like, hey, what time were we meeting up today? And they wrote, hey, all I need to worry about today is being at a bachelor party. And you laugh over breakfast. Ha ha ha. And the way you laughed led me to say that sentence. You know they're referencing you, right?
Yeah. Well, I remember going, that's funny. And you said, what? And I said, he said, no matter what happens, I have to be at a bachelor party in Vegas tomorrow. Yeah. I go, that's funny. He goes, yeah, you said it.
You said it. That was you.
I go, really?
You said that.
I do not remember that.
So drunk and so tired.
Yeah.
So it begs the question, was it funny the first time?
I don't
know. Or did you really forget where you were?
That's a good point.
Wheels within wheels.
That's a good point. Wow. It's like Inception in Vegas. Oh, man. I've let us fall far, far off the rails. And here's why, I'll tell you, is because not only are you delightful to talk to.
Oh, thank you.
Delightful to listen to.
Oh.
But also, I have not played a lick of video games. And I'm
it's a
very,
confessional.
I'm
it's
very frustrated by this. I got to tell you, there's been many a day in the past 7 days.
I was prepared to segue this conversation into a conversation about legalized gaming. But you, let's...
Legalized gaming?
Yeah, like gaming for money, like gambling. Oh, it's called gaming. They call it gaming as well. But let's table that.
You know, that's an interesting thing because I was looking at Facebook, right? Mm-hmm. So we're looking
legalized at Facebook.
Legalizing it. And it's only for medicinal purposes in California right now.
You need a doctor. You go see a guy at the corner of Hollywood and Vine.
He gives you a thumbs up, like a big, he has a foam one. And he goes, you're in. And that's how you get it. But anyway, so we're marketing the show via Facebook. And one of the options it says is gaming. You can pick as people's entertainment choice. Mm. And it's like online poker, all of that stuff. All of that is an option. And I was like, I don't think that's fair to call this part of the gaming world. Like, I don't think that's right.
No, that isn't right. And you're saying Facebook shouldn't call it gaming?
I'm okay with it. I don't like it.
Because if you play cards, you would say you're into gaming. Like, right. that's the appropriate nomenclature. But it's not for the nerd culture that we're into.
Hold on. Like, if you're playing bridge, you would say you're into gaming?
No.
Poker?
I mean gambling. Poker. It's called gaming. That's not. Yeah, it says games on the side of the thing and the other side of the casino. Yeah.
I feel like I don't trust the guy who says I'm into gaming in today's world. And then you go, oh, cool. Do you want to come over? You want to join my clan? And he's like, what now?
Oh, this is, we have a great pitch. He is a gamer, dropping his frags. She is a gambler, dropping the dice. Together they are gamer in game.
You're not too far off because I feel like I know guys who make a living on online poker, right?
Right.
And I feel like there's not a lot of crossover between the guys. Like, isn't it Matthew?
That's why they can have the same name. They're different. They don't know. There aren't many people that are in both circles hardcore. There are guys like you and I that I'll play cards.
Virtually no crossover, I imagine. But
they use the same name. They don't know. It's like meeting two guys that are both named Digerent. They're like, your name is so weird, Digerent.
If I had a nickel.
And they have no idea the other one exists because who knows two Digerents?
They've both been parallel telling the same story of like, I've always been the only Digerent. And then people are like, Diggeroo?
Diggeran?
Like, no, there's a T at the end. Why are you saying
they are the same person?
Yeah.
Bomb, bomb, bomb. So you.
That's what J.J. Abrams does, the reboot.
And then it turns out there's a smoke monster. You can't game. You can't find time to either gamble online or fake murder.
Either one. Although I could not be less interested in online.
What is absorbing all of your time? Soaking it up like a gravy sponge.
I think it's that most nights I have football practice with the kids. I have Mondays and Tuesdays off from work. I only work part time, which is even more pathetic. And then Saturday.
I like that the goal is to play video games. You're disappointed in your own ability to play video games.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that you would imagine that I'm working some kind of high-level, high-stress job that requires 80 hours of my work week. And I'm just nose to the grindstone. And I can't get in there, Kevin. I can't get in there to play the pyramid game of Assassin's Creed Origins.
Ironically, those people are game designers.
If I only work 24 hours a week, technically, then how is it that I don't have
How is
time?
It? What's absorbing? You're building a fort.
I'm building a fort for the kids.
You're shaping America's future.
Saturday. I have flag football practices on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
Yep.
Mondays and Tuesdays, usually I record each day. If I'm not recording during the day, then I'm doing voiceover auditions or voiceover jobs.
That's all work. That's great.
And then I have, Booster Club at the kids' school. Mm-hmm. So I either have a meeting at night sometimes or I'm putting together flyers or putting together paperwork.
It's like, the tyranny of the urgent, bro.
What's urgent?
The tyranny of the urgent.
Tyranny? I think you're trying to say tyranny.
Tyranny of the
urgent. Tear? Say tear?
Tear.
Tear?
Tear?
Like you cry a...
Turd.
There it is.
It's what matters most that matters first.
By the way, we need to do show more often with Crush. I really think he needs to get out of the EIB. Why am I saying EIB? That's Excellence in Broadcasting with Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, EIB! I thought it was the Irritable Bowel Syndrome.
What would happen if Rush Limbaugh and Crush did a podcast?
I think it would go a little something like this. Hey, Rush.
Yes!
You're supposed to say Rush.
Oh, Rush. I'm supposed to say Rush?
Are you Rush?
I think I'm Rush.
Take two.
These pills are amazing.
I don't even know what you are.
Oh, you are going to be both Rush and Crush?
Yeah. Which one's Rush? What's his real name?
Rush Limbaugh.
What's his real name?
It's got to be Rush.
No, no human being's name is Rush.
Yes, have it
you,
is.
Did you honestly, until this moment, not question whether or not the face of the Republican Party is really
the face
named
of the Republican Party? That's not fair.
Yes, he is the face of the Republican Party. Pill sucking down,
Rush Limbaugh.
Clinton hating Rush Limbaugh.
What's gonna What's gonna happen when it says it is his real name?
I'm gonna drink.
Oh, Rush. Here's it gets better. Rush Hudson Limbaugh.
His name is Hudson.
The
then.
Third.
His name is Hudson.
No, there are two other Rushes before him. That's the point I'm getting from this.
Keep going.
You
keep
were
going.
So far off.
No. Oh gosh, he's old. That's not the real Rush.
That is Rush Limbaugh.
That's his dad.
No, it's not. Rush Limbaugh's dad is number
What's
two.
Who's this one?
Rush Limbaugh. Rush Hudson Limbaugh the third is an American radio talk show host. Known most notably for his podcast with the Disney Pixar turtle Crush.
I can't wait to pick that up. So Rush, how did you get your name, brah?
It's a family name. It was passed on generation to generation. And that's just it. After that, it stopped. It was my grandfather and then my father and then now me.
How, if I'm doing the math right then, Rush, that's as long as I've been alive.
True. Reptiles do have an exceedingly long lifespan, which makes it a greater opportunity for you to mooch off society and just be a succubant.
Have you ever
a parasite?
Have you ever eaten any of my offspring? You're rich enough to do that kind of jerkhole move.
I more slurp them than eat, but yes, I have ingested many a turtle soup. I will fly to Japan. It is my American right to travel. We kicked our ass in WW2. Two-time World War champions, everybody. That's what we do. I made him Southern a little bit there at the end.
I respect your right to hate on me, brah.
I'm uncomfortable with your tolerance.
And scene.
That's a good podcast.
Rush.
I think
we can listen to that. Yeah, yeah. All I can think about is that
California
Adventure.
You know what's sad is that show's higher rated than this one, and they've only been doing it 2 weeks.
That's Tears of a Clown. The at California Adventure, I understand that the guys that control Crush are wearing like a headset, like a Britney Spears mic. If they still call them that, what do they call them now? Is it still Britney Spears? Is she relevant? Anyway, they have a computer console in front of
them,
but then they use like an Xbox controller, and that's how they move them around.
You have told me this.
Yeah,
before.
Yeah. They just sort of swim them around and whatever. And then there's other like key commands.
Why are more things not controlled by video game controllers?
I do not know.
I mean, realistically, honestly,
like cars. Wouldn't it be sweet if you could sit and just hold it in your lap?
I could tell you without a shadow of a doubt, yes, because I drive much faster and more effectively, and can even drive on sidewalks if I'm doing it with a PS4 controller.
I can do loop-de-loops when I'm using a PS4
you're
controller.
Gifted. I've even driven a car through the air and can manipulate its angle
physics.
Of movement while it's the steering wheel is so limiting.
Also, there's nitrous boosts when you're in with the controller.
Yeah, you can't handbrake with a regular handbrake, right?
I'm going to write a letter to my congresswoman.
But I know this sounds like I'm setting up a bit, but realistically, can you think of other maybe a car? But I still think we made some valid points on that scene. But is there anything that could? I feel like I could better control a television with a PS4
really?
Controller.
Really, I find when I have to use my PS4 to watch a movie or whatever, it's really difficult. And it's not because of the PS4's fault. It's because of the UI from the Blu-ray people, like Disney or CBS All Access. In order to pause or whatever, go ahead, you had to hit the D-pad first. That would pull up the menu to control things. If you hit any other button, it would go back to the menu.
No.
Not even pause. It would go to the menu.
No.
CBS All Access.
You make X play and pause.
Exactly.
Right? You make...
It's standard.
You make circle back to the menu.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? You make, what do you make? You make, I think square, triangle, you could be like a bump back or a bump forward.
Super easy.
But L1 and
it needs to be
R1
standardized.
Are the chapters.
Because you remember back in like PS2 days?
You use the analog joysticks to fast forward, like if you push hard.
Or change angles or move around bullet time. You remember back in the PS2 days there, we hadn't quite established where jump buttons were and some people were doing different things with the triangle and like sometimes. Now we all know. X is jump.
Yeah.
There, if you're touching a controller, I know, even first-person shooter, X is jump. There's no question about it.
In a moment of passion, while my son is trying to defeat enemies, I've said, you have to pull the R2 button And he and I was very proud as a father.
Yeah.
He said, I don't know what R2 is. And I said, it's shoot and Call of Duty. And he just pushed it.
Yes. Yes. How does he not know R2?
I don't know. But it's they don't they have a different frame of reference.
Oh,
they
sure,
don't
because sure.
they don't know identify the buttons. They it's like learning to play the guitar and reading music as opposed to playing by ear. They play controllers by ear, like by
They just do it. My son, being 5, holds the PS4 controller as if it were an old-fashioned arcade because he can't hold the whole...
Put on the ground?
He puts it on his lap, and then he uses the left analog stick with his whole hand.
He's very good at Plants vs. Zombies.
He's very good at it, and he knows when he's not... He can be like, I'm not hitting it, and he'll keep finessing it until he's got the crosshairs on something and then keep pulling the trigger. And if he needs to change the other buttons, he'll let go and touch the buttons on the top. It's impressive to watch him.
You have to post this.
Yeah,
have you posted a video of him?
I haven't. Of his handwork.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if he's adopted a new way of doing this?
I think it looks very difficult because if I tell him like you have to hit L2, he knows what that is. You know, because I make him know.
Don't. Not now. Not here. Not today.
Okay. Well, we had a good run. Sorry, Rush.
Yes.
Hey, let's play some Stump after a break.
Let's do it. That's a man.
Yeah.
That's a man singing. Only a man can sing.
One of two times in my life I attempted to do karaoke, and this was the song I was going to do. And I remember
going to.
Yeah, and I remember thinking, how am I going to hit that note? And then, I'm not kidding you, the host lost my submission, and I didn't sing it.
Like on purpose, you think?
No, like, no, and then I asked him, I was like, hey, what happened?
Come up here and ruin Aha.
I literally came up to him after. I was like 19, and I was like, hey, what happened to my submission? He's like, look, man, I got like 30 things up here. I was like, oh, okay, sorry. Carnival Cruise Lines, ladies and gentlemen.
It was on a cruise?
Yeah, that was a Carnival Cruise Line.
Look, man.
The problem
Look,
was,
man, I know you paid thousands of dollars, but I've got at least 100 things up here.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, bro. You're on a cruise. Lighten
He's
up.
Like, he goes, he was probably thinking, you're far too sober. What's wrong with you, kid?
That's funny. All right. We're going to be playing Stump. We got a loaded Stump cue.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough. Here's the thing. We should maybe flip a coin, although that ruins the whole point. What they've done is in our Discord, which you can join and you can chat with other listeners while we're doing the show live on a Monday night around 8 o'clock Pacific time, is if you go to bit.ly/GamerlandDiscord.
No, I think it's just bit.ly.
bit.ly/GamerlandDiscord?
Yeah.
All right, I'm sorry. In about 5 seconds, Ryan is going to post it in the chat room. And then I'll see it. But point is... You can tune in live and chat with other people, and then you could play Stump with us.
Yeah.
And they have a fantastic queue for Stump. So we have AJ Assassin, we have Crimson A, who he's put a parenthetical of Jimmy in there just so we
just
know.
Just so we know.
Which makes me giggle. and then we have Diamond Jack, Mahogany Vince, also put a parenthetical that says Vince.
Good. That's
makes
good.
Jimmy's thing even funnier. Matthew 72, Ryan Bodash, Sly Daniels, which is Steven, Snookums Gal, and Swampert Tube. Now, Swampert Tube has zero microphone and zero headset.
Mm.
So I'm going to assume either that or they've just got it on mute.
No.
But they are new. So do you want to... I'll ask you at least this, Kevin. Do you want to go classic or new?
Let's go classic.
All right. Here we go. Classic. We're going to drop this said person into here.
Ooh.
And we're going to see how it goes when we connect with the one and only Steven, everybody. Hey, Steven. How are you?
Oh. Hey, everyone.
Hey.
Hey, Steven.
Hey, long time no see.
Or ever, if I'm not mistaken.
Hey, we've never met you, Steven, have we?
No.
Let's do it now,
What's
Steven?
Your deal? How come you don't like to meet
Who do
people?
You think you are?
Who do I think I am?
Yeah, answer one of our questions.
Choose wisely.
Choose.
I'm a...
Or challenge.
Challenge.
We broke Steven.
All right. I'm sorry.
Thanks for coming, Steven.
Thanks for playing.
All right, Steven, you've been listening for a while. You know Stump right now is Choose or Challenge Edition. Are you familiar?
Yes.
Great. Well, here's how I've been fine-tuning this game. I'm very proud of it. Here's how it's going to work tonight. I think we have the potential to be on the Game Show Network with this version.
Really?
I think this is really exciting. So what's going to happen is we're going to ask you a trivia question. You can or categories. You can either choose to answer it or challenge Justin to answer it. We'll go back and forth.
Are you doing this all from your dome right now?
From my brain? Yeah. Do you see me reading
the questions?
Oh, no, no, no. They're right here.
Oh, okay. All right. I was like, wow.
Question number three. What color is Sly Cooper? Okay. So if you choose to answer the question, you get it right, you get a point. If you answer it wrong, you get no points. If you challenge it and they get it wrong, you get a point. If they get it right, however, you lose a point. Then once we exhaust the first round of questions, we recycle the questions that were not answered in the second round, and the point value doubles. Then we tally up the score between those two rounds, and it all comes down to the final two questions, the final question, questions, whatever the number is, in a battle royale. You know, like in the playoffs, it doesn't matter.
Playoffs?
Playoffs! It doesn't matter what your record was going into playoffs. That's what happens now.
Playoffs?
Whoever has the most points gets to choose or challenge the final questions.
And new development. Listen to that.
So that way we get to hear all the questions, we get to experience all the points, and mysteries will be resolved and solved. Steven, do you understand?
Yes.
Great, I don't Woo-hoo. Care. All right. Your first two categories, Steven, to either choose or challenge: PlayStation 1 or the Atari 2600. You may choose to answer one or challenge Justin to one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Choose wisely, Steven.
I want to choose to answer one.
All right.
Oh, that was a bad move.
Which one would you like
that
to answer?
Oh, so stupid.
PlayStation 1.
PlayStation
even
1.
Worse.
PlayStation 1. All right.
You don't leave the Atari for later. You don't leave that on the table, Steven. Is this your first time playing this game? Though,
yes, so it's everyone's first time except yours. What was that, Steven?
He said he didn't grow up with
Atari.
I didn't
grow up with Atari, so that's why I picked PlayStation.
That's smart. All right. Released in 1998. Metal Gear Solid was the third installment of the Metal Gear series. Players take on the role of Solid Snake in his fight against renegade genetically enhanced special forces who have seized an island off the coast of Alaska. In the world of this game, what year does Metal Gear Solid take place in?
Who would know that?
It's pretty cool.
I know the answers. I do too know the answer. In fact, if you get it wrong, I will guess it right. And if I am...
You can't edit the rules. This is not an open source game show.
No, I'm saying I'm not going to affect the points.
Oh, okay, fine. You can rub it in his face. Go ahead. Steven, do you have an answer?
I want to say that it's like 2005.
You are correct, sir.
Wow. Yes, I'm my heart's pumping out of my chest.
Well done.
Wow.
2005 is correct. I sure hope.
For the record,
you
I got that wrong.
Cheating. All right. Really? What were you going to say?
I was going to say 2018.
It takes place 6 years after the previous game. So they put it in. You were to say 2016?
Yeah, 18.
Oh, that would be funny, too. Yeah. That would be good. All right, Justin, choose or challenge.
I'm going to challenge Steven.
No, you have to hear the categories first.
Oh, okay.
Bro. Apps or board games?
Ooh.
Apps or board games? Choose or challenge.
I'm going to challenge Steven.
You're going to challenge
and
Steven?
I'm going to challenge him to apps.
Apps. Apps.
Oh, no.
Yes. See that?
Do you play a lot of apps, Steven?
No.
Okay, well, this will be fun.
That's why I knew that. I follow him on the Twitter, and I know he doesn't do a lot.
And around the house.
Yes.
Candy Crush Saga is played by millions of people around the world, including diabetics. Steven, are you one of them?
And random listener.
Not yet. I drink a lot of Coke, though.
No, I wanted to know if you are, if you play Candy Crush Saga. But way to go right for the joke. Well done. Players swipe to slide candies into matching sets and cause chain reaction of matches and kill time while sitting on the toilet and maybe in traffic. When a player does the basic match of three alike candies, how many points do they receive?
250.
That is incorrect.
Oh.
Justin gets a point. The answer
is
60.
Because you suck, Steven.
It says it every single time you make the match.
Thanks, Tyler, because you are so bad.
All right. That was Justin challenging Steven. So, yep. Steven, you get to choose or challenge. Your topics are Sonic or Mario?
Oh. Uh, I'm going to pick Mario.
Mario, are you choosing to choose or are you choosing to challenge?
I'm going to challenge this time.
Challenge.
Oh, no. That was a bad move.
It was probably a really,
really
good move.
Really dumb move.
Justin, I regret everything. In Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island, we learned that Baby Mario had actually been in the Mushroom Kingdom decades before the original game because someone foresaw the future plumber would spell big problems for King Koopa in the future. What character featured in many Mario games orchestrated the failed kidnapping despite his magic wand that could transform bricks into baddies?
Bricks into baddies. I'm going to go Toad.
Incorrect!
Steven, you get the point. Steven, do you know?
It was it, I don't remember his name. The Wizard Koopa?
Yes, that's right. He has a magic wand, so good guess.
That counts as a point for him?
No, not at all. Magic Koopa. Magic Koopa.
Magic Koopa.
All right, Justin, choose or challenge your topics.
I'm going to challenge.
Your topics are Harry Potter or Mortal Kombat.
Oh, I'm going to choose.
Choose?
I'm going to go Harry Potter.
Oh, okay. All right. Through the Harry Potter.
Mortal Kombat for later.
Oh, see, strategy, strategy. Yeah. Throughout the Harry Potter series, audiences learn of several games students play at Hogwarts, including Wizard's Chest and Quidditch.
Yep.
What lesser-known card game was a favorite of the twins Fred and George Weasley and even singed their brother Ron Weasley's eyebrows? It's essentially the wizarding version of Pokemon cards.
Oh. Warlock Digimon.
I'm sorry. No.
What? Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Did you research this?
No.
I feel like you should research this.
I'll go back and read the books.
I'm going to need to fact check that. I'm going to need to fact check it.
Steven, do you know the answer? It was Exploding Snap. Okay, here we go. On to round number two. The points values are doubled. And currently, the score. Cobra gets two.
I was going to say Wizards and Warlocks anyway.
Oh, that was a good guess. The score is 2-1 in favor of Steven. We're going on to the second round. Recycling chooses and challenges you did not know do already. Justin, you get to choose or challenge first because Steven got two of the first round.
Okay.
Apps. Oh, no, we did apps. Yeah. I grabbed from the wrong pile.
I challenge him to apps, but it has to be a different question.
Wait, did I grab from the wrong pile? What's happening? I'm sorry. Atari 2600 or board games?
I'm going to challenge him to Atari 2600.
Good choice.
Because I will end you. Do you understand that?
Steven. With over 4 million copies sold, Pitfall! Features the adventures of Pitfall Harry as he collects treasures while avoiding obstacles in the jungle. The game was timed. How long did players have to traverse the high adventures before it was game over?
You know this, Steven. You know this. That
do
number,
I?
Yeah, you do. That number you're thinking in your head, you should say it out loud right now.
60.
There it is.
Good. That's a solid guess. 60 what?
Seconds.
No, sorry, wrong. Yeah.
Thanks. Stupid. You're wrong.
Justin, do you know the answer?
Yeah, it's 5 minutes.
No, it is 20. Oh, sorry. 20 minutes. But you do get 2 points because Steven got it wrong. We're in double points.
You
wrong.
Idiot.
All right. Steven,
choose
or challenge Sonic or Harry Potter?
I'm gonna choose Sonic.
You're going to choose Sonic?
Uh-oh.
Right. Oh, wait. Did we do Harry Potter already? Did we do Harry Potter?
Yeah, because it was the Wizards and Warlocks.
Hold on. It's
Snap.
You did that
Wizard
one.
Snap.
You did apps. I've just got pieces of paper. You did Metal Gear Solid. Mortal Kombat. That's what I meant to say, right? You didn't do Mortal Kombat yet.
What is this, amateur hour?
No kidding. Sorry, Sonic or Mortal Kombat?
I'll stick with Sonic.
Sticking with Sonic.
That's
all right.
Bad move.
The Sonic games are known for the speedy blue mammal and high tops collecting rings, not coins. Definitely rings. But he also works to collect 7 items that can turn thoughts into power, warp time and space, give energy to all living things, and create nuclear and laser weapons. What are these 7 things, Steven?
The Chaos Emeralds.
They are indeed the Chaos Emeralds. Well done. 2 big points. All right, so adding up the points, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The score is 3-4 in favor of Steven as we go into...
I feel like your math could be wrong on
the
that.
Playoffs. You can check my math.
Playoffs?
In the playoffs! Steven, you get to choose... You get to choose one and challenge Justin to the other. I will not reveal the answers until both of them have been given, and then we will determine the winner. If you both get them right, Steven, you win. If you both get them wrong, Steven, you win. In order for Justin to win, he must get it wrong, and you must get it right. So, Steven, board games or Mortal Kombat? Which would you like to choose? Which one are you going to challenge?
I'm going to challenge Justin to board games, and I'll take Mortal Kombat.
All right. Then here you go. Here's your question. The iconic franchise Mortal Kombat is known for its increasingly absurd and comically violent but memorable characters like Sub-Zero, Raiden, and Scorpion. Late in development in the original Mortal Kombat, Midway Games elected to add one female character to the cast. Who is she?
The purple lady, Shriek?
Shriek. Your answer is Shriek. We're going to write that down. Thank you. Moving on. Justin, in the classic strategy board game Settlers of Catan, players compete in developing the island of Catan to achieve victory points first. This is done through a variety of methods, including the achievement The Longest Road. How many victory points is the longest road worth?
Seven.
Seven. All right.
Why do you laugh at my answer, not his?
Because your answer is super wrong. I'm sorry,
this is a dumb
Justin.
Game. I think I've got to retire.
Got to retire. We'll have contestants play against each other. Steven, you also were very wrong. Shriek is not the name of the character.
No.
It is Sonya Blade. Sonya Blade was the late add to the cast.
You know, I feel like we have to start keeping stats on how many of these actually are gotten right by anyone.
Sonya Blade, that's not a hard question.
For whom?
For anybody that's played Mortal Kombat.
Played Mortal Kombat. I wouldn't know who Sonya Blade was.
She was the only girl character in the first game, and she's in a ton of them.
I'm a flagship character. I'm defending you, Steven, for not knowing it, you dumbass.
I'm just going with whoever's right. I'm sorry.
All right, never mind.
Steven, you win. Congratulations.
Yeah. Look at you.
Yay.
Look at you.
Sonya, that's the one you're exploding snap. That's a deep cut. That's a hard one. I get that. But Sonya Blade? You couldn't get that?
I would know Sonya Blade. I would know any of the answers to those questions.
None of them.
No.
Really?
No. Did I get any of them right?
No. I knew, without researching, I knew six of them.
That makes sense.
This game show's easy.
Yes.
I feel like I was thinking of Shiva.
What the heck is a Shiva?
Shiva?
The other female character in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Go for it, Steven. It is your show. Do you have a question or a statement?
Topic you'd like to throw out on the table?
Do you have trivia questions for us?
Yeah. Do you have your own game show that you made up that nobody else can answer?
How dare you? You loved it last week. When you guessed it.
No, I knew all the answers
last week. I spend 4 hours crafting these questions.
I know you did. That's why I am unfairly saying.
Maybe 5 hours.
It's too hard.
Steven.
Feb Goro.
Yes.
Do you have a statement?
My question for you guys is what would you say is the most important part of a video game in today's climate?
Oh, that's a
good question.
The
most important game?
No, the most important element in a game in today's climate.
The story,
marketing.
The character, gameplay.
Oh, you went right for the jugular there.
Yeah, I think it all comes down to marketing now.
Is that fair? Because you're buying 1 hour, one life, and they don't have a big marketing budget.
No, but I'm saying what's the most important part of a game? Like, it depends on the nature of the question. If Steven is saying what makes a good game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I guess what really matters is how do we decide what makes it, what makes it successful? Is sales what makes it successful? Mm-hmm.
What do you mean, Steven?
Enjoyment is subjective. Everybody's going to enjoy different games differently.
This is so esoteric. I'm just, my mind is so clear, man.
You know, but everybody universally enjoys Stump.
That is
you
true.
Know why? Because it is universally
so difficult.
A good game.
Yeah.
Because the new patches are always good.
Right.
Man, I gotta find. How easy do you need the questions to be?
No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
How many controllers?
I'm doing the bit. I'm playing the part.
So I'm playing with you. How many controllers do you own right now? What is above the square button?
Ooh, that one I know.
Where is
all of them?
Where is L3?
That's the right analog stick.
Yeah, good job. So, Steven, in the spirit of your question, I think you're asking what makes a game a good, solid, all-around game in the development, not necessarily in its marketability. Is that correct?
Mm. Yes. Well, you can also put your own idea to it. Like, if you were making a game, what is something that you would focus on?
Oh, well, that's a different question, in which the answer is story. Story, story, yeah. Story, story. All the time, every time, story. Second to acting. Acting, 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 because I'm an actor. But I think that the games get away with a lot in those two departments because audiences don't come to games for great story or great acting. Now, a lot of people will tell you the story is great. A lot of marketers will tell you the story is gripping. But honestly, there are maybe no games that really have the timing of telling a good story.
But if you have a game...
Because here's why. Is that they say film is life with the boring parts cut out. Games put them back in. Right? Because all the grindy stuff that you do in games, that's a montage at best in a movie. We want to get past that. It is hard to integrate the experiential elements into a story. I think it can be done, but it is done so very infrequently. And watching, because there are budgetary constraints, watching two talking heads and one of them turn around and listen to the other one as they're statically happening to be standing there. I'm talking to you, Horizon Zero Dawn. What are those guys doing day or night? Just standing there waiting for you to talk? Why are we okay with this? And that game has a great story. It has a compelling idea that a screenwriter could write that's been stretched out over 40 hours that at best could be a series, but it's not gripping acting and it's certainly not a gripping story.
Yeah, see, my idea was going to be more premise than even story. I feel like you can, because of the leeway that you get in a game, you can have a really good premise.
That's true.
With a poorly executed story.
I think that's accurate.
And poorly acted. But the thing that my second thing is gameplay. Like, if it's impossible, you can't intuitively figure out how to navigate the game and interact with the world, then there's no way that it can
And that's
work.
Ultimately, I mean, the mainstream, the real answer is gameplay and graphics. If you can nail those two things, the story can be, burp, 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 get the child, burp, 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 burp. Yay! And then people are like, it's amazing. I love it. Look, I can blow up a car.
What's your favorite game, Steven, other than Sly?
Favorite game right now?
Sure.
I just got done with A Way Out, and that was really awesome. So I'd say that right now is like something I'm obsessed over. My favorite game of like all time would probably have to be like mechanics wise, because I put gameplay first above all else.
Yeah.
It's probably like Mario 3.
Oh yeah, that's a solid game. That's solid gameplay.
And why did you like A Way Out so much?
Not a solid story. Oh, A Way Out. Yeah. That actually may have decent acting. To be fair, I don't play a lot of those games that have that kind of performances, and because I feel like they go the other way where it's all about people have been mo-capped and that's a game. So tell us, why do you like that game?
The A Way Out?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it wasn't one of those games that tried to just say that it was about co-op and just like put that everywhere. It's like, oh, you got to work with your friend. It's like in the Dead Space, it's not needed. But if you make the player, if you say to the player, you have to have another person with you at all times to even play this game, then you put them in situations where they actually have to, like, where the co-op actually matters. When you've designed this level to be co-op and you make it singular, it just feels kind of empty. There's a lot of empty space, empty room. But with A Way Out, you had to have someone with you at all times. And it turned out tremendous. It was just so good.
I think
lot of the gameplay mechanics really do rely on you working as a team in tandem with each other.
That's pretty cool.
And then sometimes you're just off on your own while your friend is doing a story moment. And the acting's like, it's all right. It's okay.
Hmm.
And is you have to have a real person, or will it AI if you are playing solo?
No, you can't play solo. Oh. You have to play with someone else. In fact, actually the game for your partner is free. You send them a code. They download the game for free. They can't play it without you, of course, but they at least can play it with you.
That's a smart idea.
I know what we're doing tomorrow.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I would love to see you guys play that.
I know what we're doing right now. He's encouraging us. Do you not get encouragement?
It sounds like a gauntlet. It sounds like he's puffing up his chest.
No, he said,
good luck with that, a-holes.
No. You play it. Play back the tape. He said it like, oh, that would be fun to see you guys do
it. I don't need to play. I heard him. He said, oh, I'd love to see you guys play that.
I'd love to see you guys play that.
What was that second sound?
That was me replaying back what he did.
How did you do that? What is happening right now?
I'm rewinding the tape.
You're not touching any buttons.
In my mind. This entire podcast exists in my mind, which begs the answer to the real question, why do I always lose at stump?
Oh, I thought it was a raptor. I'm so glad it's actually Inception. Steven, thanks for joining us on Stump.
No problem. I'm glad to be here.
All right. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
All right.
Hey, when we come back, do you want to do Tales from Terria?
Yes, I do. I do want to do. Why, do you not?
No, I figured since you lost at Stump, maybe you wanted to win at Tales from Terria.
Oh.
I don't always have to do Tales from Terria. You can tell me what I did last week.
Oh, I like this tactic.
All right, let's do it. All right. You can do the intro or I can, whatever you want.
We'll figure it out.
Okay, right, here we go. This.
And now,
doing this the whole time. That was amazing.
I gotta be honest, now I'm lightheaded.
It hurts, right?
You make that look very easy.
That was incredible.
That look very easy.
That was not auto-tuned. That was real, and I really wish I had been rolling on that. That was fantastic.
I committed to that about 8 seconds in. I went, all right, here we go. And then when I felt... you start seeing stars?
Yes, yeah. Those and are the Terria stars.
The Terria stars. That's me. That's you warping. It's a load screen.
That's right.
That's what you come in. This week on Tales from Terria, yeah. Karina North has found not only... she hasn't been looking for a magical mount of any kind because she has the griffin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The mount of all mounts.
Yeah.
So what she has been doing is gathering magical...
Yeah.
Items.
Yes.
To help her as an elementalist.
Yeah.
She's struggling with her insecurity with her water power. She feels like it's not fluid enough.
Yeah.
And everybody else is, you know what I mean? Dark Slither. Mm-hmm. Sliver.
Sure.
Dark Sliver.
I don't care anymore. Continuity, schmontinuity. I love this episode.
Dark Sliver is like, it's fine. It looks great. Your water, it's great. Why are you so worried about your water? And she's like, I don't know. I feel like it's not, you know, it's too loose. It's not, I would like to make it just, you know, aggressive. Yeah. It's not water. Water is loose. It's flowing. It's, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm, yeah.
She's struggling with that. And so she went on a retreat. To try to get her elementals, to kind of focus her elemental chi, if you would.
Yeah.
And the unfortunate part was that the breakdancing spider was just always there in its 8-bit glory.
Yeah, she can turn that off by opening up the menu and de-collecting miniatures.
Here's the thing.
Yep.
I play this game a lot, and I don't mean to embarrass you.
Sorry.
But one would assume that she could.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, this is tax time. Of year, and when tax time happens, what the people do at Guild Wars 2 is they make it they restrict certain things.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Yeah, and so she has to be there with the 8-bit breakdancing spider, and it's just really hard for her to do that, and so she's really struggling with her water and her confidence.
And
people know when you're an engineer. Like, it's easy. Everything is mathematical.
Yeah, sure. Right?
But when you're an elementalist, there's an art form to it. Mm-hmm. You can't just, you know, you can't just, you know, get out a TI calculator and figure out, oh, I'll fix this.
I think they just use apps now, but go on.
You know what I'm saying, though. You know what I mean? But, you know, you got to, it's, there's a lot of emotion that's involved in conjuring elements.
I think that would be true,
and manipulating the world around you into magical weapons, if you would. And it's hard, you know, but they, Karina has off days too, guys.
Yeah.
She is, she's an elementalist, sure. But underneath that elementalist shell and the excessively large, almost demeaning bosom of hers.
You've been corresponding with my wife? She says the same thing.
And that unnecessary high slit up her dress. I mean, a lot of...
It's a sorceress outfit. How dare you?
It is a sorceress outfit, right? It is, yes.
That costs 250 gold but in game.
It goes both ways, right? She does, part of her insecurity that she's struggling with is that people treat her like an object and not the elementalist that she is. Mm.
And when she overcomes that, then she will see the true strength in her waterbending.
And that's kind of the journey of this episode, is that it's Karina North finding her self-confidence and realizing... You know what's really sad about it is, I don't know if you've heard about Amy Schumer's doing the movie I Feel Pretty.
Yes.
Direct ripoff of Guild Wars 2. Like
direct ripoff.
They're going to get a cease and desist.
You know, it's funny is that what we were saying before the break, that's the kind of stuff that I feel is missing from video games, right? Like, it hit me many years ago while I was playing the first Guild Wars as old Karina North was running in this, like, beautiful dress, running through this decrepit desert, and there was like a muddy lake that she'd run through. And I actually thought, what if my character doesn't want to go traipsing through nasty looking water?
Right.
I thought,
like, you go to the edge and it just stops.
Yeah. Or, and then I thought, what an interesting game mechanic then if, cause they're, I mean, in adventure games, no one ever gets tired. You know, maybe in some, they're like, you take a break and you put down the fire pit and you reboot or whatever and you can heal. But there's never any element of like how the character is feeling, with the exception, I think, of some of the Final Fantasy games. I know if you like heal one character later in the game, like relationships develop, but it's not something that happens a lot in games like this. Or I thought, what if she doesn't? She's like, I'll do it because we're on a mission. But then she's in a bad mood, right? And she doesn't pull off some of her spells later. I thought, well, that could be really cool because then you could be doing things like mixing an MMORPG with The Sims, taking all the mechanics in The Sims because they matter there. But you're just pretty much playing digital dolls. Your mind is blown. Yeah, you see it, right? It'd be super cool.
Well, it would be fun to play an MMORPG. Like,
yeah.
Part of the fun of The Sims was that you were going through the mundaneness of life.
Right.
To be able to do that as an elementalist, I think, adds a layer
would be so much
really
fun.
Super fun.
In an adventure, like, they're essentially superheroes. I mean, that's what's happening. But
superheroes brush their teeth, too.
Exactly. So give them their off day. Give it, like, oh, they had a really good meal. Or they liked being in this one town, and that kind of energized them. Or they like being around other players, or they don't like being around other players.
Like the idea of seeing, like, an orc in, like, all this, like, metal armor, but, like, almost a Chippendale level of, like, just a collar and tie, and he's just in a cramped cubicle, like, it's a living. Like,
I'd watch that game.
Right?
I'd play that game. It's funny, because in the very first Guild Wars, you go around and you first choose your one of the six professions that they had in the first Guild Wars, and then in the noob world, which is, like, this small zone that isn't the entire game, it's just a place where you can learn about how to play the game, and you go around and you meet other trainers for the other five professions, and in the first Guild Wars, you choose like a main profession and then a secondary profession. So it was a great opportunity to see how the other professions relate to each other. And if you're an elementalist, you come up and talk to the mesmer training. The mesmers use mind magic, and they're also like theater people because they have a lot of Baroque masks and things, and they go around in a traveling caravan because they use, like, you know, mystic.
They're like commedia dell'arte people?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's pretty much it. And so they'd even say, like, oh, you elementalists use so much flair and explosions in your magic. We're a more subtle art-based magic.
What a-holes.
And that was in the very beginning of the first game, and that's one of the most compelling things that looped me into it. I was like, oh, these people have relationships with each other. They see, like, they have perspectives that matter, and that impacts the game. There wasn't much after that.
I think the only game I could think of off the top of my head that really sucked me in because of the dynamic between the characters
was Last of Us. Did you ever play that?
I did not. That's a zombie game.
Yeah, that's the only one that I could think of that the part of what I was really into was it was that this guy and this little girl. I had the same feeling with The Walking Dead.
I was going to say the Telltale Walking Dead had similar mechanics.
Same way,
like, but they're still binary in nature, right? Like you either do it or don't. Yeah, you're like, and then if you do this, these set things happen. If you don't, these set things happen.
Which I don't necessarily mind. Do you not like that?
No, I think it depends on what you're talking about. In a story, yeah, there's probably going to have to be a finite number of ways that the story comes down. But I do think that there could be more of a gentle spectrum of like, say a character has behavior points or just choose one of the things, like he's in a good mood or a bad mood. And when you come to this particular junction, what dictates what happens next isn't your choice, but is what mood your character is in, which was dictated by choices you made up until that point, right? Because in most games, when they give you a choice to impact the game, it comes down to like three, you either say something neat, say something rude, say something supportive, right?
And in Mass Effect, they have a thing where you can be kind, you could be assertive, or you could kind of be neutral, right?
Right.
And as you start to, if you start to lean in one direction or the other, you lose the opposite of the Myers-Briggs of that.
Right. Like, and then some more options show up over time, right? Oh.
So what it is.
I thought they got more finite.
No, what's interesting is that they still show it, but it's grayed out.
Mm.
Like they show it as an option. Like you could have said this, but because you've kind of been an aggressive, assertive a-hole for most of the game, now you can't be diplomatic.
I think that's cool.
Neutral.
But see, like in The Sims, there are five of those mechanics, right? Where like too much sleep or not enough sleep. And then there's like flirty or introvert. There's a whole bunch of those. And imagine as you went through, like go into a town and interact with people in the town, how you unpack that impacts how you move later. And then like you're saying, your reputation could precede you and move on from there. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
The biggest obstacle that they would have in order to introduce like moods and stuff like that is that I feel like it would be another unnecessary like level for the player standpoint. For the most part,
I think people would get into it. What I think is true about gamers is that we like that level of detail. So like in Guild Wars 2, people will grind to the point where they can get the numbers at their absolute maximum. They will find the gear, find the particular combination of gear and
runes. But even if it makes you feel like, because I feel like the mood thing would start to restrict your experience.
But that's what I'm saying.
Feel that way.
They would, I think that they would then see that as just another way of achieving, like because it would still be finite. Like, oh, what you need to do to get to that place is make these sort of choices. If you keep leaning into this, and because that's always the yin and the yang of it is like you may want your character to be dressed like this. That may look cool, but really if you want the stats, you need to do these things,
you
right?
Pursue this.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think gamers would enjoy both.
Here's the thing. I think the only reason why I'm against this is that I like to experience most things, if that makes sense. Like I really like to see as many angles as possible.
I have a solution for you in an interactive comic that I've been developing for years now.
Interesting.
And I will
tell
be happy
more.
To tell you all about it. Right now you can look on my Twitch page and see Jack from Jack and the Beanstalk is the character that we're developing for the story in a steampunk inspired world.
I do love some steampunk. And I mean that sincerely.
I know you do.
I came across as a bit, but it was one of those things that when I saw it, I was like, it's one of the things that it was hard for my mind to come up with a nerd thing to make fun of it, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, come on. Rah. But it's like, I like it. It just seems,
it's pretty, I mean, most games now, not most, but many games pull from a steampunk motif.
Why have we not
seen
more steampunk?
I think it's there. I think steampunk's
Serenity's
everywhere.
The only one, right?
TV shows? Oh, there's plenty.
Well, Firefly was the movie and Serenity was the TV show?
I think there's plenty of steampunky inspired stuff all around the place. I mean, Stargate Universe, that was very steampunky.
Is Amazon and Netflix tapping into that nerd market enough?
Absolutely.
Like, why would they not be going full? Like, why am I not seeing...
Yeah. Because to your question, like, why isn't Firefly on Netflix? Why is that not happening right now? But to end our show, I will tell you, after a couple weeks ago, we discussed Lost in Space. It came up in conversation in the back of my brain.
I watched the whole season and I
did
love it.
Did you really? I watched the first episode and I love it. I'm very excited for it.
I can't wait to see how you progress through this thing because I think I love it.
And would you say steampunky at all? Probably not. It has a very like retro sci-fi vibe to it in a modern day world. And they're doing some fun storytelling elements in it. So
it's really good. The dynamic between, like, it's so funny because when you first, like, oh, they're going to remake a 60s show, and 60s TV shows aren't really known. They're known for the premise.
That's all
that they had. The dynamic between the kids. Mm-hmm. And then the actors would do, like, a great character or something that you people go, oh, I love that guy. I remember that guy. But that's
the breakout character,
But they do some great stuff with relationships.
Yeah.
I mean, just really, really solid stuff. It's one of those shows where it's, I think, one of maybe three shows I could think of off the top of my head where I was like, they better not, like, you know what I mean?
Really?
I'm so invested. Natalie would watch it after she'd come into the shower. She'd see me watch it. She'd come out and sit down, and we'd watch a show that we both enjoy because evidently she doesn't like Lost in Space. And I'd be like, if they... I'm like, this is going to make me very upset. That kind of stuff. I hope I haven't ruined it for you. I don't think.
No, I don't think you have. I'm excited to watch it.
It's a good show. If anybody listening has not checked out Lost in Space, but there isn't. I want to go back. Like, there isn't. I know that there are the parodies, right, that exist in a more web series. But I'm like, why isn't there a show that specifically, like, a laser targets, like, I'm into cosplay, or even I'm into furries. Like, why isn't there a movie?
Those shows
or a show?
Are out there. Those
I know
are,
they exist, but I feel like, why is it? I just feel
are
like.
Are you into furries? Are you into cosplay?
I am that little boy, but no.
You're not. That's what I'm saying.
So you're saying because I'm not into it, I'm not seeing them on my thing.
Yeah, exactly. Because if you are. Yeah, and if you were, you would be looking for it and you would find it. But you're not. So they're not bothering
you. The reality is that the steampunk niche isn't large enough to where I would see it as a trending show.
It depends on what you, because steampunk in games is everywhere.
Right.
Right. Like, is steampunk in games.
I want to play The Order. That was a kind of a
steampunk
game.
Let's go right now. That's like, it's almost 1-to-1 in terms of, like, games. You see, there's a game. Is it steampunk? Yes or no? Like, that could be your first question. But in TV shows, it depends on your definition of steampunk, because as time's gone on, the term for steampunk has become much more open. Like, we've allowed, there used to be a lot more H.P. Lovecraft involved. There'd be a little more vampiric elements in steampunk. A lot of that is, it's sort of like subgenres now within the steampunk world.
We'll end with this because it's coming. On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you to see Infinity War coming?
Oh, very, very, very.
I'm pretty stoked. 10.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked. I think it's either going to be Avengers times 10, like the excitement of seeing that movie all over again, or it's going to be the biggest bomb of the century, because
can't be somewhere in the middle. Really?
I don't see it going either way, because there's too much pressure on it. Because here's the deal: a movie with that many characters, that's a pretty big gamble. They say ambitious, and that's a good word for it. So we need to go see that.
Marvel
movie.
Hasn't gotten a lot of hits in the nerd rage department, I don't think.
Only from people that are like elitism. You'll hear that of like, what's so spectacular about those movies? To which I want to smack them and say everything.
Right.
But so next,
and maybe the hardcore comic book.
Next week, let's discuss Marvel and let's discuss steampunk and where it is today.
Oh boy.
Oh, Vince? Vince,
oh, I didn't even mean to do that.
Hey, you nailed it.
Oh, I can't do both the song and Vince.
No one
can.
He's
in there with a ha. All right, don't forget to follow Kevin on the Twitch. Join thousands of other people.
A thousand.
Get in there and get in while the getting is good, because tomorrow night, if you're listening to this live, or if you've downloaded it on, well, no, tonight.
Yeah.
Tonight, if you're downloading this as a podcast, tune in. What time do you go on? 8:30?
8:15-ish.
8:15-ish. Let's not get crazy on the time.
Yeah, it's just
sometime after 8 o'clock Pacific. Yeah. Get ready at your twitch.tv/thekevinmiller.
That's right.
And you can watch him play Sly and spread the word. Tell your friends. If you got a friend that maybe a group of you used to get together and you'd play Sly, or you know that they also like Sly, tell them. Say, hey, guess what? Sly is playing Sly on Twitch. Tune in. And if we get 50,000 people to do it, he's going to dress up as Sly. So it's going to be a guy dressed as Sly.
Yep.
Who is Sly playing Sly.
It's just Sly on Sly on Sly.
And then I believe, and I don't want to put you in an awkward position, Kevin, but I believe that if we can get 100,000 people, that you will dress as Sly.
Yeah.
You will play Sly as Sly.
Yeah.
Like, you'll do the Twitch, doing the voice and everything.
Yeah.
And then sitting just over your right shoulder on the webcam will be Sylvester Stallone.
Yes, absolutely.
We will
100%. That will happen.
This raccoon is talking. The shading in this is great.
Shades within shades.
Oh, my Adrian, come see the shading. It's great shading.
While you contemplate that, I have a good friend named Mark that's been in a little bit of hot trouble lately. So I'd love for you to go to his website and sign up for an account. It's facebook.com. com. It's all one word. Face, like the thing on your face, and book, like the thing you read, come together.
My dad does that.
It's really great. It's this kind of groundbreaking social media network 10 years ago that you can go and see each other's pictures and walls. I have a profile. Our Gamerland has one as well. If you go to facebook.com/Gamerland podcast, you can like us there and become friends. Like is a term meaning that you click on it and you will... I don't even know how to explain it. You're just going to have to get into it. You're going to love it, Grandma.
I'm sure it's implied. I think you could figure it out.
There's a button there that says
you're helping
like.
Your friend Mark, though?
Yeah, he needs to get
likes on his page?
Yeah. Well, he's been having a little bit of trouble. So I think if we all joined his social network, that's a website portal, like AOL, but it through a website portal, it would really help him out.
And if you want to join me... I know that you should fly in, because what I'm going to be doing is just handing out grocery bags at a local Ralph's here in Burbank, because they're in Southern California, California in general. Yeah. You have to buy bags.
Yeah.
So people are walking around just like in armfuls of canned goods, and they're falling, and it's dense. And it's bad all around. It looks like an infomercial outside the Ralph's here in Burbank.
Remember a year ago where this was stupid?
Yeah. And so what we do is I'm a part of a nonprofit organization, and it's called Justin's Got Big Bags. And .org, of course. And what we do is we go and we give large bags and we give them to people so that they can have them and they don't have to pay the 10 cents for the plastic bag. So you can support that.
Best one yet. That's the best nonprofit organization money could buy.
So stupid. You know what's great about this is that because we pay for the show, there's nobody gets to ask, who would give them a show? So please support Mark. Support Justin S. Big Bags. Tell your friends about the show. On behalf of my good friend, thekevinmiller.com, this is Justin Worship saying, okay, bye.